Our scripture lesson today is from the little book of James. As we continue our study in the book of James, even on a communion Sunday, because the lesson is short, and that is James chapter 1, verses 19 and 20. The title of that section in my Bible, which is the New King James, says, Qualities Needed in Trials. James 1, 19 and 20, listen carefully to what God says. Therefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. May God indeed add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his own holy and infallible word. Amen. James 1:19. Therefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Dr. Tim LaHaye wrote a book several years ago titled The Spirit-Controlled Temperament. In that book, he noted that there will be one of two characteristics which are true for every person. We are either inclined toward being angry or fearful. Unfortunately, some people have both. This morning, we're going to consider the characteristic which all of us at some time or other may be guilty, and that is anger. James begins in verse 19 by saying, therefore, which reminds us that he is, in fact, building on everything that he has said to this point. In verse 18, he has said of his own will, that is, of God's, he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. God's purpose for you and me is that we may be the first fruit, that we may be Christ-like, that we may be spirit-controlled men and women and young people. He says, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. He said, let every man. I wanted to count the number of times that the word let occurs in this little book of James. You would do me a great favor if some of you would do that, not right this minute. When he uses let, he means to place before the people to whom he is writing and to us the imperative and exhortation. He says, in essence, that we are responsible for ourselves, that we can either let this happen or we can let that happen, but as far as our being controlled by the Spirit of God, you have to let it happen. Because believe me, there are many men and women and young people who have their names on the rolls of churches who claim the name of Jesus Christ, and they may be Christians, I don't know. But there's one thing for sure. They are not spirit-controlled men and women. And that is what James tells us, that we are to let the Spirit control our lives. I was reading in last Sunday's Gadsden Times a little article that Emily actually called my attention to by a doctor titled, How to Get Out of Your Own Way. And he said that we often commit self-sabotage in our own lives. And the first thing that he listed as the way we commit self-sabotage is that we blame others. He says, quote, "This is one of the most self-defeating symptoms I see in my practice. People who do this make other people out to be bad guys when things go wrong. They're prone to blame the boss when things are bad at work, blame their spouse for marital problems, and blame the kids when no one's left to blame. The underlying message in their life is often, if only you had done something differently, I wouldn't be in this predicament that I'm in. It's your fault, and I'm not responsible." Well, what James says is, let the Spirit of God control you. The Spirit of God is not in control, then it's because you haven't let the Spirit of God be in control. You are responsible for yourself. You can't make other people be Christians. You can't make them act like you want them to be. But there's one thing you can do. You can be responsible for letting the Spirit of God control you. He says, be slow to speak. Great speakers are in demand. He says to, as a counterpart to that, be swift to hear. I had a pastor in my home church in Montgomery at Trinity Church. A Methodist pastor friend of mine who was studying for the ministry said that he would pay money to hear him preach. I think he's preached here. He's with the Lord now, Dr. Robert Strong. James tells us to be swift to hear, but slow to speak. We are anxious to hear good speakers. But James' emphasis is not on good speaking. His emphasis is on good listening. For good listening is an art that is hard to master. In order to do that, we would have to begin as Jesus said in Matthew 7:12, whatever you want others to do for you, that is exactly what you should do for them. In other words, we have to prefer others. We have to desire that they would be exalted and we put down, that they have their way and not we have our way, in order to become good listeners. That's what we have to do. We have to be willing to take the back seat. But that is a spirit-controlled Christian. Good listening is difficult. But James also says, not only be swift to hear, but also slow to speak. He does not mean taking a vow of silence. Sometimes being slow to speak is actually a sign of fear. A sign that you people might disagree with you or that you're just nervous. Or sometimes being slow to speak is a lack of clear decisiveness, a lack of clear direction about your own viewpoint and what is right and what is good. And in some cases, it is not good to be slow to speak. But in this particular case, where that James is speaking of, he says, be swift to hear and slow to speak. He means what a Jewish proverb said, speak little and do much. That it is wise for learned men to be silent and much more for fools. Proverbs 17:28 says, even a fool is thought wise if he keeps silent. And then Proverbs 10:19 says, when words are many, sin is not absent. So the more you talk, the deeper you're going to get. Be swift to hear, James says, and be slow to speak, and be slow to wrath. You see, there are two main problems with not listening and being quick to speak. And the first problem is that careless words usually accompany an angry mood. Yes, there is a place for anger. There is a place for righteous anger. Yes, Jesus went into the temple and he turned over those tables and he took a whip and snapped that whip and drove those money changers out, and they fled because he was angry. But I dare say that most of our anger can be fitted into the mood that we're in, and it is not righteous. Anger is more often than not a symptom that we're no longer controlled by the Spirit of God. But something else has interjected itself into our own hearts and lives, and we're being controlled not by God's Spirit, but by ourselves and our angry mood, and we are offended. We have excuses for being angry. Either we're too busy, we've got all these pressures that are just mounting on us and we just can't handle anymore. Or we just say, well, it's my heritage. My daddy was easily angered, and my hair is red. You expect me to be angry? Or it's not my fault. I can't help it. It's a part of me. But it's a sign of a person who is not under the control of the Spirit, because James allows us no excuse. More than once have I had to apologize to people, to a session, to officers, to my wife, because anger is more natural than being controlled by the Spirit of God. But James doesn't give us any excuse, and the Word of God doesn't give us any excuse for being swift to speak rather than slow to speak. I said there were two problems in his exhortation of slow to wrath. Two problems with speaking quickly. The first is that careless words are often accompany an angry mood. But the second problem is this: anger does not advance. Listen to this. Anger does not advance the righteousness, the kingdom of God. In verse 20 it says, "For the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God." It does not advance the work of God in your heart. Do you know why? I suspect you already know the reason why. The reason is your own prayers are disturbed. Emily and I have fewer and fewer disagreements the older we get. I don't know if we're just getting mellowed and getting tired of it, or where we really just agree and we've experienced a certain level of harmony, and it's great. I love my wife more today than I ever have before, and it's great. But what James is saying, and what we're saying, is that when you become angry, you do not advance God's work in your heart. Your peace is disturbed. I know, and there have been times, and one reason in the past, when we would have sometimes a discussion, to say the least. Do you know what would happen to me? Remember what the Word of God says? That husbands, don't be angry with your wives because your prayers will be hindered. Ha! My goodness! Every time I got ready to pray, that verse had come to mind. So obviously, we began to work through, and it's been great. But what James says now is that if you're angry, you're not working the righteousness of God. What happens is in your own life, your prayer life is hindered. But what happens to your peace and your walk with Christ? Why, it just disintegrates until you get it right. Until you go back to Him, until you go back to her, and you make it right. It does not advance the work of God in your service. Anger obstructs obedience to God. The prime example, the saddest, the most tragic example in all of Scripture, I believe. Do you know what I'm speaking of? Moses, when God said to him, Moses, these people keep crying out for water. And what I want you to do is I want you to speak to that rock. And then out of that rock, water is going to come. You know what Moses did? He took a stick. And then he told the people, he said, must we make water come from this rock? He was so mad, he said, I'm going to help God do this for you, and I'm going to do it by hitting this rock. God didn't say take stick and hit it. God said speak, and I will make water come from it. He didn't say you're going to make water. So Moses took his stick and wham, wham, wham. Water came rushing out. But you know what God said to him? God said, because you disobeyed me, because you were angry, and you spoke in your wrath, you'll not enter into the promised land. Isn't that a tragedy? Moses was out of control. God's purpose for you and for me is that we become Christ-like people, that we be controlled by the Spirit of God. As we come to this communion table this morning, I want to ask you, I'm not threatening you. I'm not even trying to lay guilt upon you. I'm encouraging you to look into your own heart and to ask yourself, am I out of control? Or am I being controlled by the Spirit of God? Be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. Let's pray.